It's good to see you all here. It's good to all of us, for all of us to meet this morning. Just want to say a very warm welcome to those that are joining us online as well. And I've had a tough week this week where I struggled with migraines and all of that, and I did not show it. People that saw me, a lot of them did not even know what was happening. Because last week I had a good week. I would say it was brilliant, to be fair, last week, you know. And even when I came to the men's breakfast on Saturday, Tom shared a word. And I was like, wow, he's sharing a bit of what God has given me. Because God gave me a word last week. I was like, you know what? That is good. It's confirmation from God. Something is going to happen. And then come Tuesday, I prepared the word. All done, and I do prepare everything on my phone because I know I can edit things. Let's say something comes during the day, I can add on or take away whatever I need to take away. Thursday evening after work, I was going to send everything to Sally so that it's ready for Friday. The PowerPoints are ready and everything. I look on my phone, everything gone. I was like, no way, what's going to happen here? So I check on my iPad, because everything that I've saved on my phone will be on my iPad, gone. Because if it's deleted there, it's gone on the iPad. It's gone on the MacBook as well. I was like, you know what, forget this. I don't know what to do. It was about 9 o'clock in the evening. I was thinking, I can't even ring or message Christian. It's a bit late to kind of say, I'm going to change things. But that taught me one thing, actually, you know. If God's given you something, if it's in there, it'll stay in there. If it's in there, it's easy to forget. The message that God gave me was in there. It might not have been the same way I wanted it to be, but I managed to get whatever it is God put in my heart to come out the way, hopefully better than, not as better as it is today. It will come out better today, hopefully. So this morning we'll be talking about God's plan and purposes for our lives. And you know, I asked a lot of people, or a few people, 2 weeks ago. I was like, what's the first thing that comes to mind when someone asks you about God's plan and purposes? You know, not for your life, just when you hear someone say God's plan and purposes. Not even one person gave me an answer, but a lot of people, it got them thinking. You know, each time they heard God's plan and purposes, it got people thinking. To be fair, the reason I asked, because that's the same thing it did with me. Because when I saw on the preaching rota, it had God's plan and purposes for your life. I was like, there's a lot that someone can talk about. But it got people thinking. But 2 weeks ago, God took me to Exodus and showed me something. I was like, you know what? That's probably what you want me to talk about. So we're going to go through Exodus a bit throughout this message. But I want to start with Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. So this is what the word of God says. It says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the things he has planned for us long ago. So we are God's masterpiece. You know, God has planned things for us. He already planned things for us long ago. You know, everything that God has created, he has created for a purpose. Every single thing, including us, he has created us with a purpose. You know, regardless of what we're going through today, if there's one thing that we're going to take from, if one thing we want to take from is, we have a purpose in life. Hopefully, there will be more things you can take from this. Now, before I get into Exodus, let's go back to something that God said in Genesis chapter 15. Now, God said this. He says this to Abraham. He says, then the Lord said to Abraham, you can be sure that your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land where they will be oppressed as slaves for 400 years. But I will punish the nation that enslaves them. And in the end, they will come away with great wealth. Now, just a little bit of background on the Israelites. So at the time of famine, the Israelites found themselves going to Egypt, because Egypt at that time was the only place that actually had grain, that had food. So they went there. Now, I'm not going to talk about how they went there because it would take forever. But when they found themselves there, the Pharaoh at that time gave them a land where they went and actually stayed there. And eventually they started to multiply. That Pharaoh died, and the next person who took over saw them just multiply and multiply and multiply. And they were like, wait a minute, these people are actually multiplying way too quick. We have to do something about it. So it came to a point where the Pharaoh said, you know, you have told people to kill the first, the male-born babies, that any male babies that were born, that they should be killed. Those that were born from the Israelites, they were called the Hebrews, they were the Hebrews. So he goes, you know what, kill them, because he didn't want them to continue to multiply. But going forward, now, then, the people the Pharaoh asked to kill the babies did not kill the babies. And this is where Moses came about. Moses was born around that time. Now, Moses was, his mom, when he was born, his mom kept him for 3 months and then put him in a basket and left him on the Nile River. Now, Pharaoh's daughter was there at the banks of the Nile and then saw this baby. Got the baby, and then next thing, Moses' sister went to Pharaoh's daughter and said, you know what, I know someone who can nurse the baby for you. Got the baby, took Moses to his mom. Later on, Moses ended up in the palace. So Moses grew up in the palace. You know, that's just a short description, really, of what was happening. Moses grew up in the palace, and he was as Pharaoh's daughter's child. So they raised him up. Now, it came a time when Moses was older and he saw an Egyptian giving an Israelite a tough time. And he went there, sorted the problem out, ended up killing the Egyptian. Going forward, Moses saw two Israelites, his own people, having an argument, wanted to sort the problem out, and they say to him, wait a minute. Do you want to kill us just like you did with the Egyptian? Moses, hearing that, he fled. And at that time, Pharaoh heard what has happened. So Moses went out. Now Moses is in the wilderness. In the wilderness, Moses finds himself rescuing ladies while they were drawing water. The lady's dad invites him to their house, and he ends up marrying one of the ladies. And Moses at that time got married, had had his own thing going on, and he was living an all right life, to be fair. You know, he didn't know what else was going to happen to his life. He was just busy living an all right life. But at one point, he came to a place where he saw a burning bush. Now, the Bible says the bush was burning, but it wasn't getting consumed. And it's at that time that Moses encountered God. You know, God called Moses, and Moses answered, and then God started talking to Moses. And in Exodus chapter 3, one thing that God says to Moses in verse 10, it's not going to come up on there. It says that, because at this time, God said to Moses, he's going to send him back to free the Israelites. He goes, now go, for I'm sending you to Pharaoh, and you must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. Now, Moses did not know that's what was going to happen at that time. He just got there, encountered God, and then God said that to him. And he came up with all sorts of excuses. Now, we got to remember, at this time, this is a man who has gone through a lot in life. He had probably gone through rejection issues, just through how he grew up. His mom was a slave there and then passed him on. He went on to live with Pharaoh. He must have gone through neglect in his life, abandonment issues in his life. And here is God saying to him, you know what, you're going to go back and you're the one who is going to help me actually set these people free. It must have been hard for him. But just imagine if God comes here today and you're going through a tough time. You're going through the worst time of your life, maybe. At that time, it wasn't the worst time, but you're going through a tough time. And then God is saying that, you know what? I'm going to use you to help people get saved. You'll probably be thinking about your own problems. You're probably thinking at that time, you know what, I've had enough. I've had a tough week. On top of that, you're asking me to go in front of the most powerful person I know at this time to actually help save people. I'm not going to do that. Because Moses went through a lot, but God was saying that no matter what he's gone through, this is the man I've chosen. Now, these are the excuses that Moses went through. You know, he was talking to God. Because basically, his response was like he's arguing with God. When God said that to him, in Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, Moses says this. It says, "But Moses protested to God, 'Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt?'" Moses felt unworthy. How many of us in here have ever felt unworthy? No. Moses felt unworthy. In Exodus 4, verse 1, it says, "Moses protested again. 'What if they won't believe me and listen to me? What if they say, Lord never appeared to you?'" Moses had no confidence at all, you know. And sometimes we do struggle with things like that. In Exodus 4, verse 10, it was a feeling of inadequacy from Moses. Moses says, "But Moses pleaded with the Lord, 'Oh Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been, and I'm not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied, and my words get tangled." You know, he felt inadequate to do that. In Exodus 4, verse 13, he goes on, filled with fear, saying, "But Moses again pleaded, 'Lord, please send someone else.'" You know. Now, at this time, Moses had a happy life, living with his family, doing whatever it is that he wanted to do, you know. And we can be like that sometimes where, you know, we're filled with fear. We feel inadequate, you know. We feel like unworthy. And God can come into our lives and actually say, "You know what, I'm asking you to go help that next person." You'd be like, I don't think you've got the right person. You probably got someone else. But one thing we got to know is wherever God is going to send us, he will provide. Whatever God is going to send us, he will equip us, you know. I think Penny said something in the prayer. God is the one who enables us, you know. He's the one who's going to enable us, whatever it is. Because if God has a purpose, you know, he will do it. And God has created you and I with a purpose. Whatever he's put you today, it might be maybe it's in this church. It might be maybe it's in our places of work. It might be maybe it's in our social places. You know, if God has put us there, we can make a difference in that place. We do not have to wait that we're going to do it tomorrow, or we're going to do it next year, or we're going to do it another month. God is saying, you can do it today. We can actually do it today. He could have done that with Moses to kind of say, you know what, wait a minute. We're going to do it maybe another time, you know. Or he could have said to Moses, you know what, it's all right. I'm going to use Joshua when Joshua's grown up, and then we're going to do it. But no, it was that time. At a time when Moses actually thought, you know, I cannot do this. I cannot talk. I haven't got the confidence. But it was the right time for God. Because why? God had a plan and a purpose. And God chose Moses. And Moses went on to do that. And God provided everything. Because when God starts something, he'll see it come to completion. And that's what he did with the Israelites. And it's the same with us. If God has started something, God will see that coming to completion. Christian just gave that word earlier on when he says, you know, there's someone in here and they're looking at three different paths. And he say that, you know, if the paths align with what God, with the Bible, with the word of God, you know, God will bless whichever path. And it's the same thing, you know. If God has put you on a path, we just got to trust in what God is saying. And then God will bless that path. Instead of us looking to the left or looking to the right or looking inside. Because you know what Moses did at that time? He looked at everything that he cannot do. Every single thing that he cannot do. Instead of actually looking to God and say, you know what, God, you're the one who's calling me. You can do A, B, C, and D. But if anything, he looked at everything that he cannot do. How many times do we actually look at the things we cannot do instead of looking at the things that actually God can do? And that's what we have to look at. Because the Bible tells us, again, this came up in prayer. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21, it says, "You make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail, you know. We can make many plans, but you know what? If God says something is going to happen, it will happen, no matter what plans that we make, you know. And we can see that through Moses. No matter how much he argued with God, no matter how much he tried to get out of it, no matter how much it was coming as if, you know, Moses was saying, you know what, God, you're wrong. I'm not the one to do that. Because that's the way it was coming out, as if Moses was saying, you know what, God, you're wrong. But God was saying, you know what, you're going to go and I'm going to provide everything that we need. You know, but what can we learn from that, you know? One thing we can learn from that is God's purpose does not depend on our circumstance. Now, if God's purpose does not depend on our circumstance, is what is stopping us from walking in that today? What is stopping us from making a difference today? You know, because it's easy for us to kind of say, yeah, I trust you, God, with everything and all of that. But sometimes when God asks us to do something, we can shrink back, you know. What's stopping us from walking in God's calling? What's stopping us from fulfilling God's purposes for our lives, you know? The thing with God is he will not change his mind just because of our circumstances. If God has said something's going to happen, it will happen. He's not going to change his mind. If anything, our circumstances can actually be a platform for God to actually do something great, you know. Sometimes some of the things that we're going through, you know, is the same things that God is actually going to look at and say, you know what, bam, that's the right time. Now this is going to happen. We're going to fulfill this purpose, you know. Because the Bible tells us, you know, when we are weak, you know, he is strong. His power is made perfect in our weakness, you know. And sometimes it's good to be in that place because we can actually... we can find it a lot easier to surrender to God, you know. Because when we think we've got it all together, we think, you know what, I don't need God in this. I don't need God in that. But, you know, when we are actually weak, we can find it easy to surrender to God. You know? Because sometimes in our own wisdom, we can be a hindrance. Because we want to do things in our own strength. Ah, I've done it before, bam, I'm going to do it again. I've done it before, I'm not going to do it again. Instead of actually trusting in God. But the truth is, the path that we are on today, you know, the path that we are on today, just think about wherever we are at in life, God can use that same path to make a difference. It could be to the person next to you right now. It could be maybe to your neighbor. It could be maybe to someone you work with. It could be someone you go to school or college with. Whatever it is, God can use that same path for us to make a difference today. The one thing we got to do is trust that the power of God is within us. The love of God is within us, you know. The Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Christ from the dead is within us. And it's the very thing that God is going to use today for you and I today to make a difference to the same person who sat next to us. It could be maybe to that person that we work with. But we have to believe it in our own hearts. We have to come to Jesus and say, you know what, Jesus, there's something in there that I want to do. Is this the right time? He will probably say, you know what, go on, do it, because the Holy Spirit is within us. You know, we can actually make a difference today, but it comes down to you and me today, what we choose to do, you know. Are we going to actually say yes to Jesus when he says that? Because sometimes all it takes is for us to actually encourage someone and, you know, things will change. You do not know the lasting difference that is going to make, you know. Psalm 32 verse 8 says, you know, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best path for your life. I will advise you and watch over you, you know. God is going to advise us, you know. God will watch over us. When we follow that path, it is God who is going to equip us, you know. We might not actually be the ones to kind of set maybe 400 people or even more people out of slavery and all of that, but you do not know that one person, you know, that we can actually speak life into that one person, and they could be set free from something that's been holding them back for a very long time. Just one word of encouragement, we could be the one doing that. You know? I remember a few years ago, for the first time we went to evangelize at this church in Newcastle, And we sat on different tables. What they used to do is people would go have food, and then afterwards, someone shares testimony, someone shares a word, and then prayer at the end, and that's it. You kind of talk to people. So I sat with my friends on one table, and my pastor came at that time and just says, ask me, actually. I don't know if it happens everywhere or it just happens to me, where someone asks you a question, but they're telling you. So he came and says to me, can you share a testimony today? And he said, thank you. And he left me just like that. And I was like, all right. Now, Christian's done it before, by the way. So at that time, I had all sorts of emotions all over me, to be fair. I was thinking whatever I could think about him. I could think about the whole situation. He just wants to embarrass me and everything like that. I was like, you know, what is going to happen today? I had food in front of me, lost my appetite because I was just thinking about what was going to happen. Came time to give testimony. I gave testimony, and then I went to sit down. And everyone was just there. Oh, you're doing great, you're doing great, you're doing great. I'm like, please, I don't want to know anything or anything like that. And then the pastor of that church came to me and says, you know what? People want to talk to you. You've done a really good job and everything like that. And slowly, I believe at that time, God did something in my heart. It was a time where I thought I was going to get embarrassed in front of people because I thought, why me? Why should I share? I've never done anything like that. But God at that time broke shame from my heart. That it was a time that actually set me up to actually go on to talk to other people. Because when he did it at that time, it brought a new freedom in my heart. Because before I got up to do what I did, I was praying. That's how come I couldn't eat. My focus was just to pray because I'm like, I need scripture to share. I need all of that. But God, in that time, he brought a newfound freedom in my heart. There was a newfound confidence in my heart. At that time, my faith just went from there and went up a little bit. It wasn't because of me, but God set up a platform for me to kind of say, you know what? Do this, trust in me, and then I'm going to work. I could have easily shrunk at that time and say, you know what, God, you're wrong. I'm not getting up there. I'm not going to do anything like that. I've never done it before, and I'm never going to do it. But I decided to trust God in that moment. And the Bible tells us that, you know, God works out for good, everything for good for those who love him and those that are called according to his purpose, you know. God worked that out in a way that we got called to go back every week and every week and every week, and different people were giving testimony every week. It's because one act that someone could have actually says, or even my pastor could have said, not you, I'm going to choose someone else. But we, in a sense, we were obedient to what God says, and then God carried on to use that. And it's the same with Moses. When Moses said yes afterwards, God went on to actually use Moses to deliver the Israelites out of Egypt, you know. And after that, you know, there were a lot of people that were blessed, including us today. They went on to do, you know, the miracle that everyone actually talks about today. You know? But one thing that Moses did not know is we're all like pieces in a puzzle. You know. So the bigger picture is that puzzle, and we're all pieces in there. Moses had to play a part in that, in the sense that when God said to him he wanted to free the Israelites, it's so they can go to a land flowing with milk and honey. That was their promised land. Even though Moses was used to do that, Moses did not see the promised land. He played a part in that puzzle to make that beautiful picture. You and I today are pieces of the puzzle. You know? We have to play our part today. It's easy to say, I'll wait until everything is sorted out in my life before I actually say yes to what God wants me to do. But we need to do it now. It's pointless waiting until everything is sorted out, because the truth is, we need Jesus anyway to get everything sorted out. You know? We need to have that relationship with God. And sometimes God uses people around us to actually fulfill those purposes. And Moses at that time did not actually see that. He was just a piece in that puzzle. You know, because it's easy for us to disqualify our circumstances, to disqualify people as well around us. We think, God will never use that person. God will never use that person. Or, I'm going through a lot. God will not use the circumstances in my life right now. But when we look at the story of Exodus, we've got to go back now a little bit. There's two people that were instrumental in what happened, and we don't really talk about it. You know, we don't talk about them much. We talk about Moses because he's the one God used to part the Red Sea, and we love that story. We'll watch it. We'll watch all sorts on telly and everything like that. But if I ask this morning, it's still morning, is it? Yeah, because we're about to finish, by the way. If I ask this morning, there's two midwives that are mentioned in Exodus. Apart from this side, I'll ask this side, because I know Paul my answer. What are their names of the two midwives? Anyone? Yeah, that's one of them. So that's my point anyway. So there's two midwives that were instrumental in everything that happened. Shipra and Pua. Now, they're the ones that the Pharaoh said, go, you got to kill all the male babies, you know. And he says this in Exodus chapter 1, verse 15 to 17. Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew midwives, Shipra and Pua. When you help the Hebrew women as they give birth, watch as they deliver. If the baby is a boy, kill him. If it's a girl, let them live. But because the midwives feared God, they refused to obey the king's orders. They allowed the boys to leave too. Now, these two people were instrumental in what happened. They feared God, and they had the confidence to actually do it. They had the courage to actually do it. And you know what? They let their male babies live as well. And here we are. We're talking about Moses, who's only a small part of a bigger picture. But you know what? There's also the midwives, who are also a small part of the bigger picture. They set the platform for what Moses did. They feared God. They respected God. They knew who God was. They knew how powerful God was. You know, they obeyed God instead of obeying man. And that was a platform that went on to set the stage for the miracle, one of the greatest miracles that we're going to hear in life. But all because people were two people that obeyed God. Are we going to obey God in what he's saying today? When God is saying, now is the time, church, to move. Now is the time that we're going to reach out in our workplaces, in the places of influence, wherever it is that is. Now is the time that you and I have to actually go and spread the word of God. Now is the time that we're going to reach out to our neighbor. Now is the time that we're going to be kind to that person next to you. Are we going to obey God when he says, now is the time? Because you know what happened when they obeyed God? Because they went against what the king was saying. I'm not saying that we're going to go against the law or anything like that. But what they did was obey God. They did what was right in God's eyes. But when they did that, the Bible says this in Exodus chapter 1, 20, 21. It says, so God was good to the midwives and the Israelites, and the Israelites continued to multiply, growing more and more powerful. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. God blessed them because they obeyed God. And that's what the word of God says, you know. The decisions we make today, you just don't know how they're going to impact the future. But it starts with the decisions that we make today, you know. They can set the platform for that great future for someone in your family or around you, you know. And sometimes, you know, God allows us to go through situations that will actually set that stage. And I'm careful when I say allowed us. I'm not saying God's the one who puts us in them situation. But what I mean is we can find ourselves in a situation and God will be like, uh-huh, we're going to use that same situation that that person has found himself, they found themselves in that. You know? But it all comes down to having a relationship with God. And I'm sure a lot of us, or even all of us in here, have got that relationship with God. But every day, we have to come to a place of saying yes to God. Every single day, we have to come to a place of saying yes to God. Because you know what? We all miss the mark. And we've all missed the mark one way or another.